Hallelujah. Let's sing hymn number 33 in our hymn book. It's a prayer. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. That's why we are here this morning. Number 33. Everybody now. Your voice.
Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the Lord from thy womb that side which flow.
Answer that prayer in the name of Jesus. Hymn number 30, the reason we are here, I'm praising on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. So our prayer is, Lord, lift me up and let me stand on heaven's stable land.
I'm praising God. upward way, and new heights from here. In every day, be praying fast. I all want by the Lord plant my feet on high.
Oh,
the beauty of Jesus to be seen in me.
That's our prayer. Sisters, hallelujah, sisters. Sisters, to sing it first so that they will understand the true meaning of beauty before God. Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 3 that your beauty should be that which professes godliness, and portray your identity as a Christian. Hallelujah. That's where our beauty should begin from. So once again, we welcome everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to do a little Bible study this morning. And so let's pick a text before we sit down. Galatians chapter 4. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed.
He invites his choosing people, come and dine with his manna. He got fed and supplies our every need. Oh, tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, mankind, the master calleth, commander. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He fed the multitude on the water into wine, to the hungry call at night. Come and shine,
Hallelujah. When Isaiah chapter 28 said, for all tables are full of vomit, and that there is no place clean, he's talking about the dining table of the Lord. And the dining table of the Lord is the pulpit where the manna is served. Hallelujah. So let's come to a clean, I believe it's a clean table. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. From verse 21, I'll read it, then we will sit down, then I will talk small. Then we will praise God a little bit. Then we shall collect your offerings. Then the rest will continue. Tell me, verse 21. Ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Abraham had two sons, correct? Please, I'm picking a text and try to understand it. Verse 23. Amen. Take note of verse 22 again, so that you can flow when we'll be speaking. Abraham had two sons, but different mothers. But they are all Abraham's sons. But he who was of the bondwoman, the difference now, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by what? By promise. Go to verse 28. He said, now we the believers, we the Christians, now we brethren, as Isaac, one of the two sons of Abraham, was. As Isaac was, we are the children of promise. But as then, at that time, in the family of Abraham, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, that is our comfort. What said the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. You'll observe I was reading it, not as Bible reading, but I was reading with emphasis, so that those who are spiritual, they will catch and follow. Hallelujah. For I'm aware that there are many of you that love to study God's divine agenda, known as the Bible. The Bible is God's divine agenda put to guide us, so that we shall understand how he moves. God's divine agenda. And it's important that we know it. Very, very important. Proverbs chapter 4. Before we read Proverbs chapter 4, remember, I always stress this, that the Bible calls a group of people the elect. There is something special about the elect. And we are likened to Daniel, who found himself in captivity of the Babylonians. But he knew why he was there, that it was a temporary estate of captivity. Because that captivity came by a prophecy of Jeremiah. And that they will not remain there forever. And church, we are not going to remain this Christianity. Christianity will not be forever. This world that we are in will not live forever. One day, all this nyama-nyama that is going on in this world will end. One day it will end. So we don't begin to live our lives now as if this world will not end. And the only reason why you would live your life as it should be lived is because of a revelation you have. And that's why in Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says that Daniel understood by books the period they were supposed to be in captivity. Traddock, take note of what I want to bring out today. It will help us. Praise the Lord. And so, because I believe with the whole of my heart, it is that knowledge that Daniel had that stood him out. That's why he will not bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. That's why, hallelujah, he will not. Because he understood the agenda. And there is something very interesting. There's something very interesting I catch here. Amen. Do you know that because Daniel was studying, calculated, and discovered that out of the 70 years that Jeremiah prophesied, as at the time he found out, it was remaining how many years? 2 years, 68 years had been spent. And so, there was an estate he was living that made God to choose him, Daniel, to reveal to him further the divine agenda. I just pray you get what I say I caught. Listen, Daniel was already studying. And he was not studying so that he will go and take Catholics that he know Bible. He was studying so that he will get himself ready to leave Babylon. He was not even studying so that he would go to the street and say, hey, remaining 68 years, hey, remaining 2 years, 68 years is gone. Hey, get ready. He was studying for himself. But he was a prophet. So because of that, he qualified to be given deeper revelation. Hallelujah. See, God will move with you, hallelujah, based on the bearing that you have taken in this life, in working with Him. If all you want is power, anointing, God will come with you. Now, power you want, take more. He'll be giving you the power. He'll be giving you the power. If all you want is prosperity, hallelujah, it will be giving you deeper knowledge, deeper scripture of what to do so that you will prosper here in Babylon. But if you are looking for scripture, come, when are we going to receive our deliverance? For the whole earth is groaning, earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and you are among those groaning for it, then God will come down and say, wait, let me tell you how it will take place. And begin to show you in the same scripture. And when the Bible in Revelation chapter 19 says, the bride has made herself ready. Ready for what? Ready for home going. Hallelujah. To be ready for home going is that you are equipped with some revelation. Because you can never live your life beyond the revelation that you have. You see, when the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. By the life we live, we will know where your heart is. Hallelujah. By the way you live your life, we will know where your heart is. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Hallelujah. When I told you the testimony, now I'm not trying to tell you the extreme some people go. When a brother told me that somebody went and collected his land, and he has all the papers. Some of these land grabbers. And he has all the papers plus a CFO from the governor. But he went. Somebody is looking for trouble with him. And he went and saw it. He said, Brother Moses, how many years more do we have to live here? That I'll go and start fighting that. Now, I didn't say you should not go and claim your, because even me, I will carry mobile police, SSS, military police, everything, plus court, plus Barrister Emeka behind me. And then we will go there. Now that is me. But I'm trying to tell you sometimes what revelation can position you. Amen. And that is the estate that we should be in now, even if you don't know. Something inside of you should be crying, when are we going? I am fed up. It is only in that estate that God can come down and begin to show you things. So in Proverbs chapter 4, let's read in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 5, 6, 7, 8, even verse 9. Proverbs. It says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt understanding. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou doest embrace her, embrace understanding. Finally, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Understanding, knowledge, praise the Lord. My people are destroyed for what? I used to say it. My people are destroyed, not for lack of anointing. My people are not destroyed because of lack of anointing. Anointing nyavu nyavu everywhere. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's lack of knowledge. That is why Apostle Paul would tell Timothy, study. 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 And show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord. During the vigil, I borrowed a statement from Apostle Paul that I said over and over and over and over during the vigil. For people who are listening to me and they think that they believe I am insulting people when I call their name or call the name of their churches. Hallelujah. But Apostle Paul also made the same statement. He said, though I may be rude in speech, but not in understanding. Hallelujah. I may be rude in speech. In the way I say it. The way I say it. I may be rude in the way I present what I know. Hallelujah. But I know what I am saying. It is the truth. So please, look away from the way I'm presenting it. And just look at it. If I'm saying something reasonable, hold on to it. It will help you. Because I didn't go to school of theology where they teach them how to speak without offending people. You see, Jesus didn't go there too. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees felt he was disrespectful. You see, you can imagine reverend doctors of divinity dress, making broad their phalanxes, and then dress with their robes. And see how they degraded, degenerated into. When they left, when Moses was with them, gave them the law, the only person that had a particular cloth to wear was one man. That was Aaron. That was the high priest. He was the only one God designed a cloth for him and then crowned it up with a Urim and Thummim on his chest and designed the cloth. But as apostasy went in, a group of people also assumed that same type of dress to look as important as Aaron. They assumed it, and then they are coming and they are hearing something is going on, and then they are coming, and immediately Jesus saw them coming with their entourage, and they are walking as if they cannot kill ants, and he called them whited sepulchres. He called, look at them, say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you hypocrites. John the Baptist did not go to their school too, so he too. He said, you generation of vipers. Hallelujah. And before you know what, the whole king was coming to his crusade with somebody's wife that he collected. All those Pharisees did not correct him. John changed his sermon to marriage and divorce. And said, it is unlawful for you, king, to collect your brother's wife, Philip, Herod, King Herod. What? Talking to a king like that? Well, there's a price for the kind of way we behave. A cut in the neck. Praise the Lord. But my own neck will not be cut. The worst they can go, they have done it. They demolish the church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So please, just listen. You will gain something. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, listen, because salvation, we're talking about, and you know, trying to make us understand salvation clearer and clearer. I am looking at a sermon that I titled, Ishmael Shall Not Be Here with Isaac. Ishmael shall not be here. That is, the two of them cannot have the same inheritance. Praise the Lord. Brother Abraham brought it out. You can look for that sermon and read it. He brought it out this way. He went a little bit more technical and more mechanical. Thank you. I think that is the word. He went more mechanical. He titled his own, The Shock Shall Not Be Here with the Seed. So he used a plant, the growth of a plant, to describe it. Because He used it to type the various stages of the church and from where the rapture will take place. But I'm looking at it from another angle that may be a little bit more simplified for somebody here to understand. Listen, church, that will also let you know why we are not a denomination. That will make you know why we are not a denomination. And I will advise you to get your Bible and paper, or immediately we close, pick this message on the tape stand. As soon as we close, copies are available at the tape stand. Go, because I'm going to make references that will require you to go to the Bible and search and read those stories. Because we don't have the time to read those stories, but I'll make references. So you have to write it down. Then go back and study and read, so that you will also catch the same picture, then we can flow together. So you need to jot down some things, so that your private Bible study, you will understand, because it is part of God's divine agenda for salvation. And always remember that when it comes to salvation, God himself hid the process in a mystery, which Apostle Paul caught in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes, it's chapter 1 from verse 18. And this is the way he put it. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, unbelievers, that are destined to go to the lake of fire, hell." Foolishness. It is foolishness. Don't you see them laughing at you, evangelists, when you go out? They make jest of us. But unto us which are saved, what is the preaching of the gospel? It is the power of God. Can you imagine the most powerful being that ever exists, God himself, when he wants to save somebody, instead of him to come and then take it, poof, and then you change from being a prostitute to a reverend sister. Ah, it's a wrong example. Reverend sisters. Ah! It's no more. No. Amen. Hallelujah. To change from an armed robber to a preacher. Amen. He has the power to do it. But see the power he used. He will come and call a man, Elvis. See, he come and call you. Even yourself, I think when Sabi speak grammar, you don't ever see those when Sabi speak English. Then he will call a man, and then the man will be going as if he's begging you, "Give your life to Christ now. Give your life to Christ now. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon." As if you are helping God. And yet, Christ said, that foolishness of preaching to us that God saved by it, that preaching is the power of God. It's the power of God. Because it is through preaching that I got saved. It is the power of God. So I read on. Verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." So he's doing it to turn some wisdom to foolishness. Amen. I mean, just imagine that a prostitute will just hear a sermon and know that they promise her money. She's even warned, but this Jesus, so if you go follow him, pick up your cross. Wahala deo, you're not going to get free money as you used to get before. But something still happens. And you drop prostitution. And choose rather to go through that rough way. And she's doing it happily. It is a power in display. It is a power in display. That's what I want you to catch when it comes to salvation. Understand that to appreciate God. Where is the wise? Verse 20. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That is their identity. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it is a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it is foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Glory be to God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, professor, doctor, the great philosophers, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And best things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you and me in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory. We are in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, salvation is a mystery. It's a mystery. So if you continue to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's read again from verse 6. This is the way he put it. How be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. When did he ordain it? Oh, are we together? When did he ordain this wisdom? Did he ordain it when Christ went to the cross? It's a divine agenda. Even Christ going to the cross was part of the agenda that was ordained. Hallelujah. When? Before the world. It was ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You see why I want to be there by all means? But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's a mystery. So let's go to Luke again, chapter 10. Jesus Christ himself trying to talk about this same process of salvation, redemption. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, let's read up to verse 21. He says, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I repeat verse 19. Behold, it's for emphasis. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this power, he gave it to 70 of his disciples. 70 followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ knew who all of them are. He knew out of all of them, only 11. Out of 70, only 11 belong to him. And yet, including those who don't belong to him, he gave them power. I'm speaking revelation. So that we're not carried away by anybody that comes and says, I'm anointed, and he has power, and he has this, he has that. He's doing miracle signs and wonders. The bride of Jesus Christ does not get carried away by that. Why? Because of a revelation we have. And that is exactly what I try to share with us here every time we come here.